listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have a great jazz R&B soul artist. I guess we can just call her musician extraordinaire, singer-songwriter, hey. Desi DeLauro. How are you, Desi?
I am great. How are you? So good to be here.
Likewise. Everything's good. You know, I was checking out your music. You know, I've been wanting to have you on the show for a long time. You know this. And when I first checked out your songs, I was like, man, this girl is good. Like, you just... throw down in every video and every song. And it's just, you know, Diane Kane is the one who said, you got to have Desi on your show because you I was like so enthralled with your music and your musical prowess. And I was just Oh, wow. This, you know, you don't see an artist like yourself all the time. And it's really going to be exciting to interview you. So tell me, what was the moment of Zen that made you want to be a singer or made you fall in love with it?
Oh my gosh. I think from childhood, you know, grew up singing, listening to all kinds of music. My mom specifically exposed me to all kinds of music from, you know, because of my background. There's Brazilian, there's Cuban, there's everything mixed up in that. Born and raised in Montreal, Canada.
Wow.
So many different influences. And so I was very blessed. And so, and then adding, you know, church, singing in church. It was just I've been very blessed. So to sing And so to be exposed to this, all kinds of amazing music and influences and cultural influences as well. So, yeah.
We kind of have a parallel in that. And I find myself almost overwhelmed with how much, you know, how many directions you can go in at any given moment. When you see something that's great in a certain genre that you love, it just makes me want to just do just that. Like, when I see a great Brazilian band, I'm like, why am I not just playing Brazilian music and sambas all day long? And then when I see a great reggae band, I'm like, why don't I just play reggae all day long? So it's, how do you choose and kind of like find a way to kind of diversify and find influences as being part-time, a part-time influence?
Well, it's so crazy because I kind of took a break from it. Initially, you know, when I started out, I was doing like, it was soulful Latin bossa vibe.
Yeah.
So that's what I was putting out. And then, you know, when Ricky and I met, we started working, we started creating a new sound. It became different. We started doing this neo ragtime swing funk hip hop crazy thing that we used to call speakeasy soul.
Right.
But I felt like I had to go back to my cultural influences and pick all of that and combine it into one thing because, you know, I've grown. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm a woman. I have like a lot of things I want to talk about within the music that's like deep and healing and provocative and thought provoking. And so a whole lot, right? That comes with growth. But I feel like I'm ready to go back to solo, you know, because we have our band Parlor Social. And I was like, okay, we did that. And I started out by my cultural influences, but took a break. And now I'm going back to it because I'm missing it. So, but I want to create this really unique sound with it. And it's there. I'm getting that Afro Brazilian tribal R&B lo-fi kind of edge to it. And I love it. And I'm just like, you know, I'm kind of rediscovering myself again. So it's like, it's hard to really pick one thing because I'm not one thing.
Right.
And it's so crazy because here in LA, you know, you start doing one thing and then people put you in a box of that one thing, not knowing that there's so much more.
Yes.
To, you know, and so many other.
It was kind of, it's kind of a selfish question because I find myself influenced by so many different things. And when I kind of like, as soon as I start to feel like I'm getting pigeonholed, I'm like, get me out of this corner. Let me get out of this box. Like you don't have it all. You know what I mean? So part of it is, you know, I just want to kind of stay focused on where my heart is at. So I know you're in the same boat, which is, I love the way you think. And let's add this footnote. Your husband is the music director, correct? Is that right? For Madonna and Christina?
No.
Okay. So he's
he's just a keys player.
Yeah. Well, he's not just a keys player. He's a badass.
He's a badass keys player. Yes.
Yeah.
Keys player. So he did Madonna for a long time. He's still doing some stuff with her at present. Just finished the Christina Aguilera, Lovers and Friends in Vegas. So he goes out on tour with her. Yeah, he's doing a lot of cool, really, really.
How did you two meet or how did you like decide to collaborate? Like, because you're married. I mean, that's another thing. It's like another level to like be married to somebody and then go, hey, we should make a creative project together and try to see if this one works too. You know?
It's so great. It's music brought us together.
That's cool.
And so we're both originally from Montreal. And so we didn't meet here. We met, we came together as a team to LA to pursue our dreams. Right. So, so we just connected and I was like, I want to work with you. I really dig everything about you. And just like, it was like a musical connection, personal connection, and just, you know, there was a lot of trust and loyalty there. So I was
Did you meet on a gig or did you like have a like a random show you were at? That how did you guys cross paths?
So Montreal's scene is very small. It's a small, especially in the R&B, soul, funk, hip hop world, church, you know, gospel. It's a very small scene.
Right.
And so friends had been talking about him like, oh, there's this new young cat on the scene. You got to meet blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, whatever. I was like, and when we met, we just like hit it off. And so it kind of naturally happened. We just like, you know, our upbringings are very similar musically. He grew up in a musical family. His entire family is in music. His brother is a Grammy winning producer. Like they all do music in his family. So it was like, we grew up with similar influences musically and stuff. So it just came together like organically. And fast forward all these years later, I mean, you know, Parlor Social, we've played the Hollywood Bowl. We've done a lot of really amazing things. I mean, it's been an amazing journey.
But you find that like the hard thing about this is what I find about with music. It's like I've been doing music my whole life and I've been performing forever, and it's like it's all these crazy highs and crazy lows in this, and it's like we live right on this edge of like, oh my God, this is unreal. So, oh my God, this is unreal. You know what I mean? It's like these huge kind of like almost like swivels from, you know, the highs to lows. How do you find that music has been that kind of thing for you to kind of like stay the course and kind of, you know, even keel and keep the boat afloat?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know where I'd be without music, right? Mental health, just everything about it. It's like, but then there's the beautiful creation musical side, and then there's the shitty business.
Yeah, side. It's so weird, isn't it? It's like, how could something
that's the real thing.
Beautiful that be connected to something so ugly? It's so weird.
I know. And it's just so like, it's, you know, I know for myself, I really have to be realistic and not let the business side of it and this whole thing corrupt the beauty of the creative musical side. So, and not to let it take away from this, but right. It's hard not to sometimes because of all the, you know, the market is so oversaturated right now. It's hard to get seen. It's like pay to play is more than ever. It's just like, it really takes a very strong person to do, to do what we do, right?
Very, very, very true. Very true.
So right. It's a tough business. It really is. So it's like, I really feel like right now I'm really trying to enjoy the process of creating and honing everything from scratch.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm doing everything. I'm doing my photography. I'm doing my videos. Wow. I'm doing my, like, everything.
Right.
So all the creative direction that you see, all me, all everything.
Amazing.
And so it's like, but I told myself, you know, because we've been through it with Parlor Social and it was tough and it's still tough and it, you know, we've accomplished a lot.
Right.
We would have wanted to accomplish a lot more, but again, the industry not understanding the style of music and all this other stuff, it was, you know. So I was like, okay, for my solo project, I want it to be a healing process.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to have to stress. I don't want to have to worry. I don't want to do that. I just want to create music. I want to, you know, present it to people, and I hope it resonates with people as much as it's resonating with me right now. And I'm super happy and proud and just like living in my essence with this music right
yeah.
now. It's just,
yeah, that's
I'm
the way
just you're really happy. You're right.
Yeah, the weird thing is, like, you know, the reason I created these kind of platforms, it's like, I did so many talk shows and radio shows where it's like this surface interview, and it's like a waste of time. And a lot of it, it's like, I like having these, I ask these questions a lot to like inquire about the artist, but also because I'm also doing the same kind of thing. I'm like wearing all the hats, managing, booking, doing all the artistic stuff, and kind of just like knowing how to direct and do all that stuff. If I had it my way, I'd be sitting with a guitar in my hands all day long or playing keys all day long, not doing any of the business. But it's like, if I did that, nothing would be taking steps forward and things wouldn't be moving in the right direction. So it's like, I think as artists, we kind of crave just being in that like artistic sense of who we are. But then there's this other side where it's like, you either, if you're not doing your own business, somebody's doing it for you and they could be screwing you over without you even knowing it. Which is one big thing. And then the second thing is, it's like, if you're not doing it, no one's going to take as much attention to detail as you are, because you're going to care so much more than most people. You know what I mean?
Right. That part, that whole part. You give it to somebody else and you're always looking over their shoulder and going like,
yes.
Did you call this person? Right? Did you book something? Did you get anything done today? Yeah, it's nobody's gonna be as passionate about your project as you are. That's for sure.
Tell me about the transition from the Montreal scene to the LA scene was like. Was it like jumping from a small pond to a big pond, or was it kind of like jumping from the same kind of pond to the same kind of pond, just different locations and different weather?
I mean, it's from a smaller pond to a ginormous pond.
Right.
It really is. Coming out here, it's like, you know, we're from Canada. You know, we got benefits.
Right.
You know, it all comes with it. You're moving. We're lucky we moved as a couple, right? But you know, you're coming into this crazy giant pond.
Right.
It's monstrous, like, talent out here, and it's like, okay, how do you break in? How do you, you know, you set your like, you know, establish yourself in this scene and stuff. But you know, it's like living conditions are different. It's cost of living is different. You know, you don't have healthcare. You don't have like it's so many changes when we got here. So it was different. But you know, I think when you come here, when we got here, it was like the excitement of just wanting to do everything and that hunger, right? You're hungry, so you're like, boom, boom, let's go. So You know, and we always tell, we always look at each other. Ricky and I always say, you know, how blessed we are because, you know, a lot of people didn't have the same opportunities or like didn't, you know, we live in LA. Sometimes we're driving, like every week we'll drive and be like, look at this.
Right.
This is incredible. Like we, you know, we're okay. We're doing all right. Thank God. Like we're blessed, you know, because not everyone fares well out here, but it was a huge, like huge step to take. And I'm glad we made the step, but it's, you know, it hasn't been easy.
I'm an artist like from here. So I find it so admirable when artists just pick up everything and go to come here. And it's kind of like this weird city where it's like everything's spread out. LA is like, yeah, yeah, come here, sit down, have a seat, you know, make yourself comfortable. And then it's like you're sitting on that couch and you're just like, wow, this is really nice. Nothing's happening. I gotta make something happen. Otherwise, I'm just sitting here on this couch, just being comfortable and uncomfortable at the same time. So it's really funny. So go ahead, tell me.
That's funny that you said that because I feel like back home you have an established community because it's so concentrated and a smaller community. And, you know, singers, musicians, everybody's passing on gigs to one another. And it's like, you know, hey, I can't do this gig. Can you cover whatever, blah, blah. It's all friends. It's a community. Here... Again, you get the phone calls. People will call you back home. Here, you ain't calling people. You ain't emailing every day.
Yes.
You ain't getting work. That's the reality of it.
That's very true. And you know what I find too? It's like I'm always connecting people to work, like connecting musicians to work or like people. Right. But it's like, you know, when my close friends hear my gripe, I'm like, you know what, I connect so many people to things, but it's like I'm still connecting myself to everything because I'm just like always looking for the best gigs and trying to get the best gigs and like hustling to do that. And it's like, so if you ever need help with this, any of this stuff, please reach out because I can help. I can definitely help. But enough about that. Tell me, like, when you're making music, tell me how you get into that place and channel all that life brings, all of its spectrum of colors, and put it into something and make something beautiful.
Wow, it's really interesting because we had a lot of time because of the pandemic, and I feel like it was a blessing and a curse because you know the horror of the pandemic and the losses and all of that, people getting sick, but at the same time we were lucky enough to stay home and not like just focus on, you know, finding ways to get stuff done. Everybody found a way. It's crazy how human beings just like adapt in any situation. You have no choice. This is what's going on and you have to adapt and switch it up. So I feel like what was really cool is that Ricky and I started this like Sunday brunch, soulful jazz brunch on Sundays. Cool. We used to do it in Englewood live, but then when everything shut down, we started, him and I, every week just as a service to everybody because people were stuck at home playing music. And so that got us through. But after the pandemic, I feel like I hit a wall, like really hard.
Right.
Because you're like, whoa, okay.
Right. Things are back. What? Is it back? Yeah, right.
Things are back. How do we get back? How do we do this? You know, and you know, we had to have conversations about, like, we have a massive band. How are we going to do this? Like, do we go smaller, start playing? So Ricky and I decided to go smaller. It was easier. And then I decided to start writing. He's working on, like, his black classical composers from the past and pushing this.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I said, I'm going to work on my project. There's a lot that I need to talk about. It's part of my mental health. Yep. I went through a really bad depression after the pandemic. So it was like, I just need to get it all out.
Yeah.
You know, we had the jazz brunch during that was cool. And I was like up for the 2 years. But then when I came down, writing was my like sanity. Yeah. So I started writing and, you know, pen to paper and just.
Did you start with lyrics? Did you start with melodies? How did you kind of go about it?
It kind of happens like it both happen at the same time for me.
That's
it's
cool.
Kind of like a melody with like some blah 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 blah, yeah. And then it develops into something, and I listen to it and just like kind of, and I was like, okay, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for the next, this next, you know, phase of my life, and you know, healing. So it was like, I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew everything was just coming to me. Like during these dark times, I guess, like there's all this information. And I know for me creatively, there's a lot in there. So I was like, I already visually saw what I wanted. I see it every single time there's a new song. I see visuals all the time. So I'm like,
amazing.
Let's go. Yeah. So right now I just need financing for this because it's expensive. I'm like,
that's the other thing. It's like there's so many other countries that are financing arts, and like the U.S. is kind of like, no, you guys do it. Fend for yourselves.
Canada gives grants. You know, yeah. If I was in Canada, I would be getting a grant. But you know, it's crazy. I'm like, yeah, you got to figure out a way out here. So it's, yeah, that's the hard part.
Yeah, and I've done many a gig where I'm like, why am I doing this gig too? Okay, this is why I did this gig, so I can fund this passion project. And correct. You know what? What's interesting though, it's like you find a lot of even uber successful artists, like movie stars, that are doing the same thing. They will do a movie that you're like, why did they do this movie? To fund some passion project, whether it's a business, whether it's another, you know, an indie film that they want to make, or a music project, whatever it is. So it's like, yep. You kind of see, oh, okay, now I know why these people do Snakes on a Plane or like something crazy like that. You know what I mean? So you're doing all the right things. You're making great music. And let's play something first. What do you want to play us first?
Let's start with Strength of a Woman.
All right. Let's. Here's Despilaro, Strength of a Woman.
Strength of a woman, warrior survive. unstoppable persistence transcends. She defies all laws of gravity. Knock her down, she's getting right back up again. Strength of a woman, determined to rise. Embracing a power, feminine, divine. Strength of a woman, warrior, sun. Gloriously radiating from the inside.
She's getting back up again. She's getting back up again. You can't hold her. You can't hold her. She's getting back up again. She's getting back up again. You can't hold her. You can't hold her. She's getting back up again. She's getting back up again. You can't hold her. You can't hold her.
That was dope. So
thank
super
you.
Soulful,
thank
super dope,
thank
very,
you.
Very Badu-ish, just like
thank
very
you.
Cool concept of the video. Tell me a little bit about the visual concept of everybody kind of looking and stopping. Tell me what it was striking. I just want to know what the inspiration behind it was.
So the inspiration I had is so crazy because I drew it out when I wrote the song. I drew the concept out. It's so crazy because on social media, I actually posted it because I found it. I found this drawing. I was like,
that's
oh, my
awesome.
God, like a few months before, like I had it. And we have this beautiful park. We live in Burbank, beautiful park across the street from us. And I was like, I love this park so much. The backdrop of the palm, like the palm trees and the I want it out. And I was like, I see all my friends, all these beautiful Black women, a celebration of Black women and wearing their crowns. And I wanted it to represent like the power in our hair, the power in our different, we all have different tones, different shades of Black, and different textures, but we're embracing our hair and there's so much power in our crowns. And yeah. I wanted that. That was a really strong image that I had in my head, and like how people underestimate and misinterpret, you know, Black women. And I just wanted to be very stoic and very like beautiful and powerful and just
did it for
soft,
sure.
Soft at the same time. So it's like, you know, I wanted it to be simple, but I wanted to, it was very intentional. Everything about that video was intentional.
What's cool is it's soft but deafening in how striking it is. You know,
because thank you. I love that. It's
like really kind of like sweet and like sultry, but then it's also like powerful and message based and just it's heavy. So it's like musically it's like hypnotic, but then like the visual thing of like showing everybody's faces, and you really do show like all the tones and just like showing all the beauty that all the colors are. It's really striking. So, and then it's like right when you're getting like hypnotized by it, you see those looks and you're like, what did I do wrong? What did I do? You know what I mean? Because it's so awesome how just like you think it's not going to be like that. And then it does something that just catches you off.
Well, I like the fact that you said hypnotic because I'm taking a different approach musically because I want it to be simple.
Yeah.
And then take on a different life live.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want it to be simple and stuff that people can connect to and relate to. And I like that hypnotic thing that you said, because it's a vibe. It's a vibe.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a little bit Sade. It's a little bit Erykah Badu, but right. It's all you. You know what I mean? It's like,
thank you.
Hear that it's like different and it becomes like your signature. Tell me, like, what did you start with? Did you start with the kind of the melody and the words? Did you kind of start with, I want this in the production when it came time to recording it?
I feel like it was lyrically, this one was the one that I was like, it flowed. So I was like, oh, I had the chorus already. And then it was just like, okay, I'll build from there. But like the flow of it, lyrically, melodically, it just happened. So I was like, spread the woman to rise. And I just changed a few things and I was like, okay, I'm feeling it. It's a vibe. I'm just gonna create a vibe. So
yeah, I mean, even when you just sing right now, it's like, yeah, this is grooving. You already hear, like, there's a groove already. You know what I mean? There's right. cadence, there's groove, there's power. It's like right. very kind of a spiritual, hypnotic vibe. It's good.
Yeah. Really. Thank you so much.
So are you always pedal to the metal with all of your stuff? Like in the sense of like, I want it to hit, I want it to be message based, or are there some songs where you're like, I don't mind light and fluffy sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, or you kind of always, you always want to make it matter, because that's something that's, I find that's always hard to maintain. It's like, almost like right. when I find myself in that zone of writing, I just have to kind of like, almost like leave it for a bit and just write something almost silly. Like, oh, I need to write something fun just to be fun.
Right.
Right. Not take life so seriously, you know what I mean?
I mean, sometimes I'll do that, but it seems like everything following suit, like All Love Begins With You, that's coming out on Friday, this coming right. Friday. That's about self-care, self-love, you know, body positive, confidence, instead yeah. of like, I'm like, no, I'm feeling like, you know, I just wanted to. It just kind of happened like that, right? There's a few songs that, like, conversations that I'm having with people inspire songs about, like, there's another song coming called Be Still. It's got a tribal vibe, and it's very Afro-Brazilian, but it's got space and air, and it's beautiful. And I was like, we never talk about how sometimes we just need to, it's okay to rest. It's okay to chill, right?
Yeah.
So like that song is, there's a double meaning. It just happened like that. It's just, I'm just letting whatever's coming flow, but it seems to have a message and it seems to resonate. Cause right now I want to do stuff that really resonates and comes from a place of like pure authenticity
yeah.
and honesty. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Intention is the word, you know what I mean? Like
it's totally like, intentional.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's just like flowing like that. It's not like I'm sitting there going like, today I'm going to write about, birds in the sky and how they're.
No, but what's refreshing about it, I'll tell you what's refreshing. It's like when I look at pop music, when I grew up, pop music was not like so easy breezy. It was like right. it had depth, it had meaning. There was a story behind it. There was something powerful there. And now I look right. at a lot of pop music and I'm like, this is not that at all. And it's like, I need music to give me direction and kind of make a statement and make me think about things. Like the reason I love artists is like artists are, they're ahead of the curve. So it's like, yeah. I need like philosophy or, you know, artists to kind of like redirect the way I think about the world or see the world or see myself. And it's like, if artists absolutely. Aren't doing that, then it's like, what are we doing? You know?
I know it seems like it's a lot of that other thing right now, right? Where you're finding it hard to grab onto stuff and with substance, right? And so, and it's so crazy that you say that, because when we were doing the Soulful Jazz Brunch during the pandemic, you know, Ricky wanted to play That's Just the Way It Is. And the lyrics of that song, I never realized. So when we delved into like the song, I was like, oh, this is a heavy song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a heavy,
It's a heavy song. Like, lyrically, you know, he's talking about, like, you know, racism and, yeah. and you know, middle class, less than middle, lower than, if you're living lower than middle class, almost poverty line. And like, I was like, wow, you never noticed, like, you know, the pop music before in comparison to now. First of all, you know, you don't even have bridges on songs.
I know. It's crazy. It's like, when I send, like, stuff to teachers, I'm like, you don't want a bridge? Like, what?
Right.
You just want another chorus and the same as the verse? What?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you know, like, what's, you funny know, you say that, because I like Bruce Hornsby's keyboardist. He played on my last record. And
oh, wow.
I just saw them play. And I've got this live record. If you ever get a chance to listen to this Bruce Hornsby live record, I'll text it to you what it is. It is right. So unbelievable. Like, I didn't know the band was going to be like that. And when I saw them play, it was like years later. It was like a spiritual experience, because they were so good. And everybody just had room to play and explore. And like, they played. I mean, it was like, it was like the whole room was lit on fire because of how much musicianship was just being spread across the stage. It was really amazing.
Well, you see, you said it. That's the word, spiritual. It was a spiritual experience, right?
Yeah.
And spiritual, it doesn't have to mean religious. It just means what feels good and what's resonating with you, you know, within your soul. If it's speaking to you, it's saying something to you, like lyrically, musically, moves you in any kind of way. And that's the thing. Like, I think that's where I'm at. Like, musically, I just want people to feel, I want people to feel good and just make, maybe resonate and feel like, oh, I feel like that. I'm going through that. Oh, I love this. Or like, I feel like this certain days, or I've been through that. Like, I really want that connection with people. Like, you know, this is what we all go through things. I want you to experience it with me. I want you to take a ride with me.
Yeah.
So
I love that. I you know, I also feel like, I don't know if you feel like this in this scene, but it's like, we artists, we need artists. Like,
we know.
We kind of almost underestimate how much art we need to fill our soul, to be artistic. And I feel like I find a lot of artists that are like, they're always working and they're not always listening, or they're not always seeing music, or they're not always like taking art in. And it's like, that can be detrimental not only to the artist, but it's detrimental to the artist scene and the music scene. Because, you know, I like, when I read Sting's autobiography, for example, he talks about seeing Jimi Hendrix for the first time and how like prophetic it was to see Jimi Hendrix. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, Sting watching Jimi Hendrix, what a crazy image to see a young Sting watching Hendrix just shredding in a small club in London.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. And it's like, you don't see a lot of artists doing that now. There's so much of a self-serving kind of, you know what I mean? And it's like, it kills me, because it's like, I'm always at shows. I always want to see shows. I always want to go to shows if I'm not making music, just to like get the fire burning, you know? Just
it's growth and it's inspiration, right?
Right.
I take from all of that, musicians, singers, you know, like all of that. an art piece of art, like anything. And so it's like, it just gets my sensories going, like on 100. So it's like, yeah, that's necessary. It's necessary, even, you know.
I knew this conversation, because like, you just like scream music and art and soul. You just like, you know. Not a lot of artists take that time to kind of like breathe it in. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think so much of that, you know, like I teach to, you know, young songwriters, and I'm like, make sure your input is much greater than your output, because it's so easy to get depleted, and you're just like putting out stuff all the time and you're not taking enough in. And it's like, you find yourself depleted. You're like, what can you really talk about if you're not overwhelmed with how much is inspiring you know what I mean? So it's something I think about it all the time, and I just that's one of the reasons I'm always looking for artists, because it's like, you see an artist like yourself, it's like you find something like what you're doing, and it's creations on levels that need to be kind of consumed and, you know, heard and, you know, experienced. And I just I always keep creating. What are we going to play next, moving on to this one?
Okay, so I feel like we should play All Love Begins. That's it's so you get a premiere, my friend.
Oh, I love it. Touchdown.
It's not out. I know it's not out yet. So it comes out on Friday, and the video on Sunday, which I'm really excited about. So yeah, All Love Begins with You.
All right, here's All Love Begins with You, Desi DeLauro. My God, man, I could have listened to that song forever. I was like shocked when it ended. I was like, that was awesome. That was Thank you. That was a beautiful, beautiful song. Bossa Nova, I mean, you had me sold from that point, but good. Really, really, really good. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Tell me what the inspiration behind that was. And I love that you took it to Bossa, because it's like, wow, it just had...
It's so funny because this one I want to, because it's a universal message, right? All love begins with you. It's like loving yourself, self-care, self-love, acceptance, you know, forgiveness of oneself, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
This one, there's a French version that's going to be released.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got a Spanish and Portuguese version as well.
Wow. So. That's
I'm just waiting. Yeah, because I mean, I speak all these languages. So I'm like, yeah, I'm from Quebec. I've never, ever released a French song. So I feel like this is the song to do it because the message is so strong.
Yeah.
And a lot of people resonate. It's not released yet, but the little glimpses and posts that I put out with little pieces of the song, people are reacting. You know, I'm getting a lot of love because they're like, I love this. I love, you know, the lyrics. I can't wait to hear the whole song. And just so it's so important, like, you know, and
beautiful message.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited. I actually put a video together. And it's just like a universal. It's just many different people from all walks of life, genders, ethnicities, backgrounds, and, you know, body positive, saying they're beautiful, they love themselves. Like, it's just really positive. I just wanted to show that instead of like, oh, look at me, my body. I wanted to do,
it's powerful.
Yeah. I wanted to show, like, you know, especially for children, and I think of kids a lot and what they're, you know, they're absorbing on social media and all this mess of like, you know, this is not the beauty standard. It doesn't have to be the beauty standard. You love yourself, represent yourself wholeheartedly, no matter who that is.
Right.
You know, it's
and you know what,
accept yourself, everybody else.
What would be really interesting, like, there's a big YouTube artist named Mr. Beast. I'm sure you've heard of him if you haven't. He's a multi-viral. He's the biggest artist on YouTube. He's not a musical artist, but he does all these crazy videos. And I was talking to somebody that works in his management team, and he said, one of the reasons he's so popular is because he overdubs all of his videos in several languages. So like globally, it hits because you're hitting so many different language barriers that now you have that advantage with the song. So when you release the song, you should release all the versions, have the same video in all those different languages. And you have so many demographics you can hit with that, you know.
It's so crazy because for time, again, money, because, you know, every time you record a version, every time you, it's money. So this is my, you know, this is the setback right now. It's a little setback. It's just temporary. But the French one is done and it's going to be the exact same video for it.
Beautiful. And, it's a great song. Yeah. My God.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's really powerful. I just wanted to, you know, make it about acceptance of oneself. Like, I feel good about myself. If I accept myself, I love myself, you know, that's how I'm going to shine for others, right? Or the only way you can love somebody else if you love yourself. It's that message. It's like, self-love, you know, it's powerful. It's really powerful.
I have an interesting question because I studied opera in college and sang in French and German and Spanish. That when you're doing a song with all of these different languages, when you do a song in English, do you have to change the harmonic or like the harmonies based on language, like where syllables hit? Like, how does that kind of alter like the phrasing of something?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the French version was a little trickier. Obviously, you know, rhythmically it changes a little bit. You're going to have
it's the syllabic, it's the phonetics, right? Right.
Exactly. The phonetics and even you know, you're never going to translate a song exactly how the English version sounds, but it's close enough to make sense to where it's like that same, you know, the same premise.
Right.
It's always rhythmically that, or, you know, syllable wise, that is going to change. So the French version, there was a little, it was kind of the same flow, especially where the harmonies come in and stuff.
That's what I was thinking about.
but maybe like a little syllable more here, there, you know, because just to fit in the word,
right?
Because of the language and stuff, yeah.
Well, you have one advantage of the language. Like in most foreign languages, there are words that English cannot describe. You know, it's right. Like it's larger than the defined word that we kind of know it by. So did you take some of those liberties to kind of do that with some of the lyrics, or did you kind of just try to make it parallel to what you sang about in English?
Well, so the French version, a friend of mine from back home translated it.
Awesome.
I won't touch any of those translations. I'm
right,
not gonna
speak it. right. You're like, that's a whole other ballgame. Right.
And it's so funny because she's really, you know, shout out to Marjorie back home. But she loves music. She's not in the music world.
Right.
But she translated it so well and so on point that I was like, oh my gosh, this is
That's amazing.
She did amazing. And a lot of people, even translators, have a hard time translating, especially music, because it's got to fit in the groove of the, you know, the flow of it, right? Rhythmically, syllable-wise, lyrically, it's got to all
fit. Did she listen to the music and that influence her translation? Or was
she did, absolutely, because the English version was done. But it's still like, I'm amazed at how amazing she did with that translation. Yeah. Yeah, we got to clean up the Spanish ones and the Portuguese ones. It's a little, you know, that's
how they speak all those languages. That's crazy. Those are hard languages.
Those are my languages. Especially
Portuguese. Portuguese is like, man, it's so difficult. That's the language I find to be the hardest out of any language. I'm like, I can't do it.
It's so funny because with all those other languages, like the, you know, because I speak Italian, French, Portuguese, Spanish, and English.
Wow.
And all those four languages, you know, because they're Latin languages, they all resemble each other in some way. There's a lot of words that are the same and stuff. So it all falls in the same. Portuguese is a little bit harder because of phonetically.
A lot of it harder, but go on.
Yeah. But yeah, that's I you know, I guess it's all the same for me because they all, you know, they all resemble one another. But
well, it's probably easier for you because you have compartments. For me, it's like all the languages are on one compartment, so it's like I'll start a phrase in Spanish and end it in Italian. It's like, no thanks, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's too much. I'm like, it's like music is enough of the language. That's the universal language. I'll just stick with that. That covers all of it, right?
Right.
Well, let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
What do we have next? Do we have the live?
I think it's Jack. I think it is the last one.
Yes. And that was at Sofitel in, I want to say, 2018.
And the song's called Jack, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Here's Jack by Desi DeLauro.
It's 'cause I think I need him, but I don't really know exactly what I'm doing. He's got a
slamming. My God. What can't that you do? Fun. You're singing, you're rapping. I'm like, God damn, this is crazy. Tell me a little bit about this. This was a Parlor Social video?
Parlor right? Social, yeah, that's Parlor Social.
And that was your husband on keys, right? With a cool hat?
Yeah.
You, gotta,
yeah,
you know, I'm a hat guy. You can see all the hats, right?
I know, I've seen them right.
So I was like, oh, he's got a cool hat. I like that. So tell me, like, what the inspiration behind that and the vibe. I was just listening. I don't know if you know Buckshot LaFunk. It's one of my favorite old school. Oh, man, you're going to love them. It's like hip-hop and jazz, like, combined. And it's with Branford Marsalis, Greg Fillingham.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So it's so random because I literally was just listening to them. So hearing that, I was it's like Buckshot LaFunk. It's so clever, so good.
Yeah, it's Parlor Social is an interesting project. It's just, you know, that was a baby for, you know, quite a while. You know, since 2010, we're pushing it. And I mean, we're doing like the Newport Beach Jazz Festival June 4th. So we'll still, do gigs. Yeah. So, Ricky and I,
I'm going to come see you June 4th. I want to see this. I want to see this project. Yeah. I was about to ask, when are you playing next? And here you are. You're like, oh, we're just doing the Newport Jazz Festival. That's like a huge deal. Huge deal. But go on. What time are you playing at one of the biggest jazz festivals in the world? Go on.
We're playing 11 a.m. Okay. Yes, would love if you come.
Yeah, come hang out. All the info. So I have it on my phone, and I will be there.
I will. I'm super excited. I mean, you know, Parlor Social is a mix. So we like to say if Cab Calloway, Outkast, and Lauryn Hill had a baby, that's what
that is awesome.
Parlor Social is. So it's like a mix of like swing, hip hop, funk, jazz, scatting.
You got a new fan already. I'm gonna have to hang with you guys because, like, that's all the stuff I love. I mean, I really love stuff. So you guys do it well. It's so slamming. And where can people find you? Like,
find us on Spotify. We have like a Parlor Social page on Spotify, and Desi DeLauro on Spotify. I mean,
spell it out. Spell it out. People are dumb.
So DESSYDILAURO, that's for my solo project. And then Parlor Social, PARLORSOCIAL. We have like an Instagram page. I have an Instagram page, Facebook. You can find on TikTok. We got a TikTok page too. So yeah, we're up there.
And I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were about to tell me something about the band. You said it's, and then I interrupted you.
It's an experience. You got to come check it out. If you can come check it out. We don't have our horns on the 4th, but it's, you know, drummer and bass player killing. You're amazing. In for a treat. So,
amazing. Yeah. Desi DeLauro, thank you so much for being here from Hollywood.
Thank you, Nikki, for having me.
You're a creative delight. And honestly, you have an open door to come back anytime. Anytime you want to feature something, I want this to be an avenue and something, you know, that a vehicle for you to showcase your music. You really are a creative endeavor on a whole bunch of levels. So
thank you so much. I really appreciate you inviting me. This is fun, and I got to promote. You got first dibs on All Love Begins With
You. I mean, you gave me a debut, but I mean, honestly, your music is incredible. And I don't always say those words, but your music is incredible, and I hope you never stop creating. Don't let the world hold you back. They're just small things, but you are a powerhouse, and so is your husband. And we'll get him on the show soon, and we'll get you guys together too.
Actually, sometimes you really need to get him on. He's doing some interesting stuff. You guys would have an amazing conversation. I know you would. So
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna have him on separately, and then I'm gonna have both of you on for Parlor.
We'll
coordinate all of this, but thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood.
Check out
Desi DeLauro. Check out Parlor Social. On behalf of Desi, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Love, light, and peace.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.